there's some confusion for smart devices versus just devices that can be controlled. And there's a big difference, right? I wouldn't consider something that I can control remotely from my phone smart, right? It's remote control.
How smart will our buildings become in 2024? Hello and welcome to Tech First. My name is John Pitsier. It's 2024. Yeah, it's January. I'm in Vegas at CES where everything is smart. Everything is AI. Everything is cutting edge, apparently. But how smart will our buildings and homes get in 2024? Where are we headed? Plus, where are the gaps? To chat, we have Dan Hollenkamp. He's the CEO of Toggled, which supplies sensors, software, and appliances for smart buildings. Welcome, Dan. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, super pumped to have you. Thank you for joining from Detroit. I'm in Vegas, as I said, and I'm on hotel Wi-Fi. So hopefully this all works. We'll see how it goes. Let's start with a little bit of crystal balling, maybe a little bit of dreaming, hopefully some reality in there. How smart should our buildings be? If we look at where the end state, the goal, if there is any end state in technology, how smart should our buildings become?
So I would say the dream, the goal is to have a building that responds to our needs and is always prepared for what we're attempting to do in that space. We build buildings to use them for accomplishing tasks, aid us in doing tasks, whether it's at home, sleeping, taking care of ourselves, relaxing, at work, trying to get things done, make money, right? So we need buildings that are smart enough that they are assisting us and not taking away from what we're trying to do. The ideal building is you walk into a space and it's prepared for what you want to do. You don't have to fiddle with light switches. You don't have to mess with, you know, turning on TVs and projectors and trying to get the space. So we want buildings smart enough where they are assisting us and not taking away from the tasks we're trying to do. I see a lot of technology actually create more work for people, especially in spaces. Spending 20 minutes trying to figure out how to turn the light off that, you know, putting glare on the screen. It's like we've just lost 20 minutes. So I see buildings moving in this direction. We're starting to see technology that is actually getting smart. I think there's some confusion for smart devices versus just devices that can be controlled. And there's a big difference, right? I wouldn't consider something that I can control remotely from my phone smart, right? It's remote controllable. So we're starting to see buildings get smarter. At Toggled, we have a focus on making smart devices. We have a building management platform called Toggled IQ with a data first network, right? So we emphasize data and make sure that data is shared among devices and that devices can make decisions on their own based on the data that's being shared. And it's not necessarily just like commands, turn on, turn off, do this, do that. It's here's what I hear of a sensor is like, this is what I'm seeing. And it projects it to the rest of the network. And then devices can make decisions based on what data is on the network.
It's super interesting. I'm going to interject. I'm sure you got more to say, and I'm going to let you say that. But I'm going to interject. It's super interesting that you made the point between devices that are smart or systems that are smart versus systems that are remote controllable. It's funny because I'm a tech guy. I love tech stuff, but I've pulled some stuff out of my home that I felt wasn't improving my life, wasn't making my life better because I did an inventory and I had 35 devices that were attaching to my Wi-Fi and sucking down power and taking up bandwidth. And some of them were just there and it was easier to flip a switch on a wall versus to open a phone, get on an app. And so that is a critical difference. It's funny because I really haven't heard too many people talking about that.
Yeah. And I think that's, it's critical for us to move forward with smart buildings. And I'm glad to see that people are starting to recognize that this is important, right? The data is important. Stage one is control, right? We have to be able to control things. Then we need to collect data. But the thing that's still missing from most buildings is taking that data, doing full circle and making adjustments based on the data, right? Using AI or machine learning or whatever we want to call algorithms this week, right? But having some feedback loop that continues to improve how the system's operating, improve the environment that we're in. I always laugh that it's really easy to make a super efficient building, right? You just turn everything off. Like I can save 100% energy, right? Let's shut it off. But it's a terrible place to be, right? And that's the point of the building, is to be a better space than if we were just outside, right? So it is to improve our environment for what we're trying to do. So it's all about optimizing. It's optimizing comfort versus energy consumption, right? And that's where data is so important, and having a system that can be controlled. Control is important, but we need to be able to actually analyze the data and feedback to the system so that it continues to get better, continues to improve our experience in these buildings.
That's a really high bar to set to make it better than the outside, because outside air is typically healthier and cleaner than inside air, which is somewhat counterintuitive to some people. And obviously, inclement weather aside, it's great to be outdoors. But we've all been in buildings where you can't even open a window, right? Because they've got some, whether they designed it that way or whether that was for, so people couldn't adjust their own local temperature or whatever it was, that's a real challenge. Now, how realistic is it to get to this sort of optimal state that you talked about, where the building is anticipating our needs, the building is providing what we want, the building is enabling us to do what we want to do better, faster, and we don't have people trying to connect to the projector or the screen in the room for 20 minutes?
It's not going to happen in 2024, right? It's not happening this year.
It's just not happening.
But we will get there. I have no doubt we will get there. Every technology takes this kind of path. Even just think about how our cell phones have come in the last 10 years, last 20 years, right? We've taken all these separate devices and combined them. And we did a shift, and we did a similar shift in cellular, where we went from voice being the priority to data, right? Now it's data is king. Right? No, we don't talk about minutes anymore. It's all about data. Now it's unlimited data, right? So data, I think we're realizing data is the most important thing for most of these devices, most of these industries. As we continue to make it easier, breaking down silos and buildings, we have all these separate systems and they don't talk to each other, right? And most of them, even when they talk to each other, they're not providing all the information that's available. So as we continue to share data within buildings, without outside of buildings, we will continue to progress towards buildings that become smarter and smarter. And then it's a matter of, once we have all this connectivity, once we have all this control and data sharing, whatever the latest AI is, this is coming down to weeks. Technology is moving so fast now, right? It's like things progress so much faster and faster. Whatever that new technology is, we can now interface it with building because we have the data collection, we have the connectivity, so we can continue to make buildings smarter. So I'm seeing a lot of movement towards connected buildings now. The lighting industry, where we do a lot of our work, is very like incentivized by utility rebates and incentives for improving efficiency. And even in that space, we're seeing a shift into, we want connected systems now. Right? We don't want just a sensor that turns, we don't want just LED to save energy. We don't want just a control system to turn lights on and off when there's someone in the space. We want systems that are networked. We want to be able to share data about how a building's operating back to the utility, and allow the utility to also manage loads within buildings so that they can help stabilize the energy demand.
I found it super interesting that you mentioned mobile phones, smartphones, because you said we combined a lot of functionality into one thing, right? And that's the most personal of computing devices right now. And it does a lot of things for a lot of people. That's one thing I've seen in Vegas right now at CES, combination of sensors. And so you've got an outlet or a smart plug, or you've got a smart lamp or fixture, and it has multiple sensors in it. It might have a speaker and a mic. It might have a temperature sensor. It might have a humidity sensor, a lot of different things. And that's been one of the challenges that I've seen about smart home and smart building, is that how do you collect all the data? It's getting way easier because you can put one thing in a room and you can collect five or six different data points. I just bought some HomePods. They've got temperature sensors and they've got humidity sensors in them as well, right? And so there's a lot of this data that does need to get connected, and at least is getting collected now. One of the things that I've been wondering about as we've been talking about smart buildings, smart cities, all that stuff, is the impact of work from home and return to office. How's that impacting what you're seeing in the space?
So work from home and return to office, I think in general, what it's created is more flexibility in working times and where we're working from, right? So even the return to the office isn't been a full return. A lot of people, it's been more freedom in how many days a week you come in. Maybe you're working remotely more often. So I don't see us ever returning back to the normal 9-to-5, everyone in their cubicle type of work environment. And this has a huge impact on buildings, where the way a lot of buildings used to be set up is just on pretty simple timers, right? The lights, most of the lights in building turn on at 8:30 before most people start showing up, and the temperature setbacks and all of that stuff is all mostly based on schedules. And whenever there was a holiday or something like that, either they were manually programmed in or was just left on, right? But it was mostly based around timers. And we're seeing now that there's this inconsistent use of spaces, that more and more we need to have things that are sensored. And then also, sensors are great, but they don't predict things, right? They're only telling you about what I currently see. So this is where more and more buildings need to be able to predict what they think that the building is going to need for that day, right? So whether it's combining scheduling and meeting calendars into a building system, or even just knowing location of people for am I logged into a PC at home, or am I this morning and working or not, right? So being able to collect data and predict the use of a building is becoming more and more important, so that we're not wasting tons of resources in keeping a building ready state to be used when it's not going to be used.
That makes a lot of sense. And that talk, that also gets to this concept of buildings moving from energy consumers to energy load managers, which you've talked about and you consider to be one of the trends for 2024. Talk about that.
Sure. So traditionally, right, buildings just consume energy, right? They're hooked up to the grid. They're hooked up to gas, water, right? They consume resources. More and more, we see things like micro generation, right? So we have solar on rooftops. We have UPSs. We have battery packs in buildings now, right? So not only are we consuming, but we're generating and we're storing. So as we continue, as we use more and more things like micro generation and renewables, it actually causes a lot of problems on the grid, because not only do we have variable consumption, we also now have variable production, and it causes a lot of problems trying to maintain a grid, right? Even if a lot of people think that you can just produce more energy and it's fine. No, the truth is production and consumption have to be matched, right? You can't just create a ton of energy and it'll burn up the grid if you don't burn it, don't use it somewhere, right? As we continue to have smarter and smarter buildings, they will become an active participant on the grid, right? So we see some of this today through like demand response, where you might opt in for example, in my home, I have interruptible AC. Okay. So the utility can turn off my AC unit for 15 minutes an hour, so many times a day, if they need to help stabilize demand. Similar things in commercial buildings exist, where loads can be remotely shut off by the utility. As buildings become smarter, not only will it react to what the utility's needing, but also provide data back. I anticipate needing this much energy for the day or the week or the month. And it will allow us to decide, should I save energy into my batteries? Should I pull data from the grid? Should I push data back to the grid? Or should I push energy back to the grid? All right. So buildings will become an active member of the grid to help basically stabilize. And as we have more and more local generation, the grid becomes more of a balancing system than just a supply system.
That is a super fascinating topic, because of course we had this centralized grid that was designed for centralized production of energy and then distribution. And now it's a good thing that we're decentralizing production, that we're distributing production, but you're 100% right. The grid was not designed for something like that. And if we're overproducing, somebody has to shut down or use that or store that in some way, shape, or form. It's fascinating to see how buildings will do that. Obviously, the most The most obvious option, I guess, is to go to something like Tesla Powerwall or industrial version of that and store it. But I wonder if some will start building in shafts and have gravity batteries, right? Heavy weights you lift up and you need some energy, let it drop a little bit, generate all that stuff. That's probably expensive and takes space and everything like that and challenging as well. But what a fascinating challenge we have in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There are some really pretty interesting kinetic energy kind of storage systems. I've seen everything from pumping water uphill and letting it run back down to, I saw a company, like, they were literally stacking blocks using cranes and then letting it blocks come back down and generate electricity back. So yeah, there's all sorts of great, awesome ideas around storing energy, but then it comes down to needing the intelligence to know, did I store enough? Right? Yeah. Am I going to make it through? So that's where having buildings under, knowing how much energy they need based on what it's predicting for the day is going to be critical.
Yeah. I do want to bring up AI, and you've made a couple comments about AI already, and that people are calling stuff AI, which is not really AI. It's interesting being at CES this week because it reminds me of a pre-COVID CES. I think the CES just before or 2 years before COVID, when Amazon had just made a huge push and everything was Alexa integrated. I'm telling you, everything. Fish on the wall, hey Alexa. Toilet, hey Alexa. Bathtub, hey Alexa. All that stuff, right? And you saw Alexa everywhere. It was insane. This year, it's like that for AI. AI in everything, AI washing everything, and everybody claiming AI in their product. And AI is the salvation. AI is going to solve everything. It's going to figure everything out. Talk about the role of AI in smart buildings.
Yeah. So AI in smart buildings is really going to be around understanding how buildings are being used and anticipating how to adjust buildings for their users, right? So a good example of maybe how AI would be able to help is like a conference room that's used by a lot of different people, and AI would be able to notice preferences and behaviors of people in those spaces. Like, for example, like whenever I use a conference room with these people and I end up using the screen, and I always end up adjusting the lights because I don't like it, right? So that's where learning how I like the building to be set up so that next time I come into the space, I'm not adjusting it. It knows this is what you like. This is what made you more productive, right? So perhaps even looking at some outputs, right? It'd be interesting how you would quantify like productivity. But knowing that, oh, if it's 1 degree cooler, you actually get more done, even though you're not, kind of thing, right? So really learning those kind of things. How do I make a space more conducive to do work, right? Or make it so I can relax more in this space, right? So like taking in the sensor data to see how I'm responding and make the room space better for the task that I'm doing. And right, and this is where it's like learning what I'm doing also. Like, I don't want to have to tell the building, I want to do this right now, so you should adjust it. No, it's like understanding based on my previous actions or what I'm going to do so that it sets it appropriate for what I'm doing and not having to tell the building what to do. So I see that that's a big use of AI. The other is managing the building itself, right? Like understanding if something needs to be maintained. Or another example might be, I'm just thinking about even in a space, usually we think like, okay, we want the blinds open to bring natural light in, and that's going to be the most efficient thing. But having a system actually understand all of the inputs, all of the energy inputs, modeling the building might realize that actually we want to close the blinds right now because we're bringing too much heat into the building, and we're actually using more energy by having the blinds open than having the lights on, because the HVAC system is consuming more energy, right? So having a system that identifies and understands that maybe that's not the right choice and I need to make a change for the next 2 hours to save more energy than I would have if we did what we thought was obvious, right?
And maybe a super smart system that says, oh, Frank actually likes the natural air and Sadie doesn't, and the natural light, and Sadie doesn't, so I can close 90%, but I'm keeping the 10% open so I don't get unhappy people who do less work and get ticked off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see those things, and also predictive maintenance, like identifying that the system is cooling, is lost some capacity in cooling, and identifying perhaps what's causing that. Being able to schedule maintenance on buildings ahead of time instead of having to react to failures. Those kinds of things, I think we'll probably see a lot of benefits from AI.
I just want to not have to change the source on the screen.
Yeah.
On the TV.
Right?
That would be nice. That would be nice. And if I connected, if it would just know, hey, I only have one source connected, so I'm going to use that one. That would be nice as well.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yeah. There's no reason we can't get to the point where everyone walks in with their laptops, and they probably won't even have laptops, so that'll be something else. But anyways, something that you have on your screen, and just by saying like, hey, you should look at this, share it with everyone. Those kind of things where like, so it's taking the steps out for you. So you don't have to like, oh, I want to share this because it's cumbersome. I remember, you know, prior to COVID, having video calls and that kind of stuff was a little clunky, right? I remember the old days, it used to take 15 minutes of your meeting just to get like,
can you
everyone
hear me?
Called in and didn't type in your PIN code and all this kind of stuff, right? Like it was really not easy to do video calls and even just calls in general with lots of people from different locations. And it's changed dramatically in a few years where like, we're now doing these kind of things where we're having video calls on a regular basis. I would say my calendar, most of the meetings in my calendar these days is a video call with multiple people in multiple locations. 5 years ago, that wasn't normal. So we see technology advance really quick when there's a need for it. And I think we're going to start seeing a need for this in buildings as energy becomes more difficult to manage.
Excellent. Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking this time. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.